And welcome to the fifth episode of the Rebel Force Alliance podcast, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I'm your host, Ednar, and I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, Coleman. How are you doing today, Coleman?
Oh, stress. Super stressed over this new, brand new territory battles.
Yes, the territory battles, all the fun stuff that dropped in the past 2 weeks since our last episode. I will say this, sorry for all our listeners, we did not have an episode last week. I was actually in Vegas for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and it was amazing, so I don't feel that bad about missing a show, because it was that awesome, but I still wish we could have talked about all this stuff.
Yeah, and on my end, you know, apologies on my end too, because we originally planned to have this with another co-host, but I had technical difficulties on my end, so I couldn't get it up and running.
No worries, no worries. It just means we're going to have a crap load of stuff to go over this week.
Oh, no.
So we'll just get the initial stuff out of the way first. What has been going on in the game for you in the past 2 weeks?
That Rebel farming, K2SO, casting in Andor. You know, trying to get those guys up as fast as possible so I have a Rogue One squad I can use. My Phoenix squad's all set to go. They're all gear 10, 11. I've had them for there for a while. But, yeah, Rebels, Rebels, Rebels.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were blindsided about the specific, like, Rogue One Phoenix, I think. They weren't as prepared as they were for the rest of the Rebels. With those.
Oh, no. I certainly wasn't ready for how important these Rebels are going to be.
Yeah, now Phoenix, most people had Phoenix up there because of the Thrawn event.
But yeah, they at least had the star level.
But yeah, but a lot of people just didn't go for Baze and Chirrut.
No, yeah.
And that's, you know, kind of the key.
Hard farming.
Yeah, they have been.
But, you know, Baze is just that elusive little critter.
Which will get better. Around. Which will get better. Which will go over. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Gearing up all these random tunes to help with territory battles. Because in our guild, me and you both got put into... We're kind of... how do I put this? We're putting all the minds together in the guild to try and come up with the best solution for everyone.
Yeah, so it's our top 100 that are kind of putting our minds together to help out the rest of the guild.
Yeah, and so we're just kind of gonna go in and test that stuff out, and then go back to the other guilds and be like, "All right, this is what works.
This is what doesn't work.
This is what doesn't work. It's still a giant shit show." And you know, but yeah, I mean. You had mentioned this before, and I'll let you say it, but man, the guild leaders, I feel so bad for them.
Yeah, you know, guild leadership, I think not only Rebel Force, you know, we have 12, and we're trying to manage 12, but every guild across the board, across Galaxy of Heroes, God bless them. I mean, we've all worked and worked and worked. I know, especially this past week has been crazy. Just trying to put people in places, comparing numbers, you know, adjusting guilds to where, you know, everything fits. But I just want to give a big thank you and a big shout out to all the guild leaderships out there, especially my own guild, Rebel Force. Well, me and Ednars anyway.
Yes. Yes. No. Thank you to all the guild leaders. Like he said, not just Rebel Force, but all the ones who have run a guild. This is hell for you. I feel bad for you, but I'm glad you're doing it. So, yeah, let's just dive in. I mean,
right.
We kind of just have to start talking about territory battles. They are live as of, I think, 8 a.m. Central tomorrow. 8 a.m. Central on 8:31. We'll just go with that.
I'm not looking forward to that start time because I'm sure it's 6 a.m. for the Alpha Guild I'm in, and 6 a.m. Eastern time is midnight my time, and it's a nightmare. I can't stay up that late.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to suck for you.
Yeah.
Although I don't really feel that bad.
No. I mean, I'm very fortunate that this is kind of our first talking point here is they changed the phases from a 12-hour to a 24-hour for this first run. And I like that because it helps me that's in a completely different time zone. I actually get to compete and, you know, actually feel like, oh, hey, I get to actually do something in this, play a part in this.
Exactly. And I think that's why they did it, just so everyone can kind of test it out better without feeling rushed.
Yeah.
Like, people in our guild were talking like, oh, I have to set an alarm to wake up in the morning to start doing this.
Yeah.
No.
I'm on vacation all next week, and I'm not looking forward to it.
If you're... All right. PSA. If you have to set an alarm to wake up in the middle of the night to do a run in a game, you have a problem, and you need to seek help.
No, we've all done it, though. We've all done it.
We have all done it, but you regret it like a week later. You're like, God, why did I do that?
Not really, because if you're waking up for that time and you really want this guy or this character or be here for this and that, you'll go to sleep and you won't even think about it the next week. I'm glad I did that. I've done it a couple of times.
Yeah, I used to do it for WoW and like for new releases and stuff like that, and I always regretted it.
I never regretted it because me and my friends, you know, just hop on there and we have a good old time.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, we'll dig right in. We'll go over some of the basics. So, territory battles will launch on the planet Hoth, as everyone knows, with an event called the Imperial Invasion. In this battle, guilds bring strength to, like, basically bring everything with
except
them.
Except for Darkseid.
Except for Darkseid. Yay, no Darkseid.
No.
Yay.
No.
And then you basically take on Imperial forces. Using Rebel light side characters, or Rebels and light side characters, so all light side characters. So those of you who have a 7-star Lobot, more power to you.
Yeah, I have no idea why you would do that until now.
He's the only Rebel I do not have unlocked.
Really?
Yep. I'm not going to farm. I'm not farming him.
Oh, you will be.
Probably. So territory battles are a 3-day event consisting of 6 phases that are each normally 12 hours long, but they will be 24 hours long for the beginning of this. And after each phase, units that were previously used are reset. So think of it this way. It's like if you're doing a normal AAT run. After 24 hours, if you haven't killed it, you can reuse the characters that you used already. It's kind of something like that. You just use it, wait for that phase to get over, you can use all those characters again.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we want to point out, do not retreat. Whatever
yes,
you do.
Yeah, because you will, even if you do retreat, this is not like Galactic War, where you hit retreat, you get everyone back full health where they started from in that battle. This one, you hit retreat, you lose those characters.
Yeah, so the worst thing you can do is retreat. I don't even know if it counts as damage.
Nope.
Because
you backed out, there is no damage.
Yeah, so there's no damage and you lose those characters. So just bad. Bad. Don't do it.
Yeah, they're forcing you to play this.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Unless you have... Oh, no. Even with the new Hermit Yoda, he still won't be able to be used, they said.
Nope. His abilities count as a retreat.
Yeah. So, okay. Next thing, basically, everyone's going to be... the whole guild will be working together. In most missions, players earn territory points. Basically, just a new currency we have to buy stuff, which... We will go over what will be in the new shop, at least what we know so far. And then each territory will have 1 to 3 stars. And what I've gathered for this is it's kind of like light and dark side battles. Like, you have 1 star, complete it with barely getting past. 3 stars means you just crushed it. The amount of stars you get when it's over is what your prizes are based on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, like, I think 44 stars, 44 or 45 is the most you can get. If you have all that, you get the best rewards. When I was looking through it, I think the break point where, not where it becomes bad, but, like, starts to dip in quality of, like, gear you would get is at 30. So you wanted, from what I gathered, you want at least 31 stars.
Right. And most guilds will be able to get that.
Yeah. 31 will be like, you'll still get gear 12 gear. But at 30, you won't be. So that's kind of the breaking point. But yeah, that's how you earn your gear and you work your way through. The arrows on the map will show you where you need to go, so it should be pretty self-explanatory where you need to go next, but you will have choices, which we will get into right now. So there's going to be four different, type of missions or that you would have to go through. So the first, deployment. And this is basically, you have all your characters. And during this deployment, players send all or part of their collections into fighting the territory, earning points based on the galactic power of those units. So the more galactic power, the more territory points you'll earn, stuff like that. Once the units have been deployed to a territory, they can participate in any mission on that territory. But cannot be deployed to another territory during that phase. So once you make a decision, that's final. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's going to get tricky, I think, is knowing where to set what territory you're going to deploy your troops to when you have to decide.
Yeah, which... The wording on it's a little odd to me, because it says during a deployment, players send part of all of their collection to fight on a territory, earning territory points based on the galactic power of those units. But then it goes on to say, once units have been deployed to a territory, they can participate in any mission on that territory, but cannot be deployed to any other territory during that phase. And that's what's kind of getting me.
So
when the next phase starts, units are available to be deployed once again.
So, all right, so for instance, phase one, there's only one territory. In phase two, there's actually two territories. So you have to split them up, territory one and territory two. So if you're looking at the map, like the top part of it, you'll look like you have a couple missions up there, and the bottom half will have other ones. So you'll have to decide, hey, the one on the top needs my Phoenix characters. So I'm going to deploy my Phoenix characters up there, while the bottom one needs your Rogue One characters. So you're going to have to deploy your Rogue Ones down there. You can't change it back and forth.
Okay.
One thing that did confuse me by this is all the Dark Side characters they have listed.
Right, and that's where all the Dark Side users, they're going to get majority of their points from.
Yeah, but can they use them?
You know, we'll go over that a little bit later, but there's a certain kind of order you should do these battles in.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think don't even worry about deployments till the very last thing you do in that territory or that phase.
Okay. Okay, we'll get into the specific missions now, because that deployment is basically you splitting up your character. And then we're going to talk about combat missions. There's going to be three separate types of missions, but we're going to talk about combat missions first off, because it's the more generic one. From what I gathered, it's going to be the most common one. And essentially, it's just like you said, Coleman, it's going to be like light side or dark side battles, except you're going to be fighting six waves. And you're going to need to bring specific sets of characters to each fight. Like, you may need to have just Rebels, or may need to have just Rogue One, or Phoenix, or need to have Hoth Rebel Soldier, or Hoth Rebel Scout, and them. And then they progress in difficulty obviously, in each one. What have you learned about the combat missions?
Well, so far, you know, combat missions, like you said, like we were talking about, they're going to look a lot like Light and Dark Side battles. Just you have to use, you know, some combat missions are going to require Phoenix Squad or Rogue One Squad. But for the most part, it looks like a lot of these are going to be just light side characters. That's kind of the gist of what I'm getting is a lot of these combat missions are going to be light side, not just constricted rebels. There are going to be a few, like a handful of rebel ones, but majority of combat missions are going to be light side. So you can use your Jedi, your Resistance, or whatever else you need. But how you put those squads together is up to you. I can't really tell you what to do until we can actually start to play this.
Yeah, and test it out and see. I mean, I think the default, I hate to say this, but I'm going to just go out there on a limb and say the best team that you're going to have for these is going to be a Resistance team.
Yeah, this is coming from the guy who runs Resistance in Squad Arena.
Yes, and the reason I say that is because they make PvE environments trivial. Like, with what they can do with the turn meter reduction and stuns, unless there's a mechanic that can do that, I mean, you can basically auto every node of Galactic War. You can auto every event that comes up. Resistance, to me, seems like it's going to kill it in these combat missions.
Right. And these combat missions, you know, if you're going to run R2 in there, you've got to be a little bit careful with these because, as we've kind of been told, is that these combat missions are going to have some new characters in them. And one of these, the Imperial Scout Droid, is kind of the counter to R2.
Yeah, now, what does he actually do? I guess I missed that.
I'm trying to pull it up right now. I'm trying to remember where I saw it at. It's here somewhere. But,
Probably does something, has something to do with his stealth, would be my guess. But even then, you know, you don't even have to use R2 in a Resistance team. You can use Resistance Trooper. Heck, you can use Commander Luke.
Right, but you gotta understand a lot of these, like a lot of people out there, including myself, I'll probably be throwing R2 in the mix just because he's a really good light side character.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's one of the best we've ever gotten before Commander Luke came around.
Yep, okay, so Imperial Scout Droid, I'll go over his pretty much kit real fast. Is precision blaster, deal physical damage to target enemy with a 60% chance to expose them for 2 turns. If the target is target locked, they are exposed again and this cannot be resisted.
Oh, wow.
Then there's also his first special ability called Detect. And it's got a pretty cool animation. You know, it just shoves the red line like a sensor over top of everybody and it's pretty cool looking. Detect, though, is dispel stealth and inflict target lock on all enemies for 2 turns and reduce their turn meters by 15%. Enemies that become target locked also lose another 15% turn meter.
Jesus. They really do not want R2 to just dominate this.
Nope. And so, judging by that, if you're thinking about taking out these Imperial Probe Droids from the get-go, I would advise against it. Because of his second special ability. It's called Self-Destruct. Imperial Probe Droid sacrifices itself to deal heavy damage to target enemy and additional physical damage to all other enemies. This attack cannot be evaded. This ability is disabled while Imperial Probe Droid has full health. So once you hit him, I hope you're lucky.
Oh, there's going to be so much trial and error. And that's another PSA about this episode. Everything we're talking about, we don't know. We're speculating, just like everyone else, really, at this point.
But I know from guides and everything else is that a lot of them were just big on watch that probe droid.
Okay. That's good to know. I mean, this is the stuff we need to learn to show other people. Be like, this is what works. This is what you need to do so on and so forth. You know, not attacking the probe droid is very useful information.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to having the separatist event where you have to kill that thing.
Right, but it seems like they changed. It's the Imperial one, not the separatist one now, though.
Yeah, I would have just normally just killed that thing first off, and that would have obviously been a horrible, horrible decision. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be your kind of, I don't want to say easiest, I would say, but it's going to be the one where it's going to be the most clear-cut what you need to do.
Right. And now, saying that, Imperial Probe Droid's not done with its abilities yet.
Ugh.
So it has a unique ability called Imperial Logistics. And that it goes, at the end of the Imperial Probe Droid's turn, all other allies gain 15% turn meter. In addition, while Imperial Probe Droid is active, target-locked enemies can't gain stealth and take bonus damage equal to 5% of their max health whenever they are damaged by an Empire or droid ally's attacks.
So they basically are just nerfing R2 to the ground.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much any light side character that will depend on stealth is not going to like these Imperial Probe droids.
So Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Going to hate it.
Tebow,
yeah. Oh, Lord. Anyone who goes with R2.
Yep. Now, there's an interesting other one, too. And what we didn't really explain is that in these combat missions, there will be one random character on these squads that will be elite. It will have the elite word around their name. And each one, if they say elite, will have a special, unique ability. Like, I'll just go with the probe droid because I'm on it. It's called Imperial Overwatch, and it states Elite Imperial Probe Droid only. While Imperial Probe Droid Elite is active, it removes 20% turn meter from debuffed enemies whenever they are damaged by an attack.
This doesn't sound fun.
No, it really doesn't.
Like, it's going to be fun, but...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a blast at first.
But...
Just knowing that there's new stuff.
I mean... Honestly, how long do you think it's going to take before somebody actually 3-stars the whole thing?
It's going to be a while because, you know, we can't retreat. We can't go back and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the interesting part. I think a lot of these strategies, certainly when I think of them, I retreat multiple times and insert different people, insert different ways of attacking them. This time, I can't do it.
No. It's like that's how you test stuff out, but it's smart of them to not allow this.
Yeah,
in my mind,
I really like this aspect of it. Is that okay? We're giving you something that you have to sit there and chew on for a while.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, but it's interesting that they're requiring specific characters. I think
yes,
It's not forcing you to level up certain characters, but it's forcing you to work on them, at least.
Right. And now...
Because you don't need to have them fully geared. You just need to have them at a certain star level.
Right. Certain star level, but yeah, gear's going to play a big part in it.
It should. I mean, the videos I watched... I mean, they were throwing in a Hoth Rebel soldier that was getting one shot in the second wave.
Yeah, but that's probably a very low gear, low up soldier. Because let's face it, not a lot of people actually went after soldier until now.
No, not with that one hard node grind.
Ugh, he's just not worth it. But now he is.
You would think. I mean... It could come back and be like, oh, well, that specific combat mission that he's required for, you can do it with, like, 3 people.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't know. It could just be a cakewalk, and you don't even need it. At least everyone doesn't need it.
It's better, in my opinion, it's better to have it than not have it, though.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But we'll go on to the next mission. You got something else for the combat.
There are more. There are more Empire enemies that are out there.
Okay, what are they?
Your typical snow trooper. Pretty much same abilities as, you know, you have as your own snow trooper. You know, so you can kind of, you already know what's going to happen, so.
Well, most people don't actually have snow troopers.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, not all of us are weird like you.
Hey, I'm not the weird one that likes Imperials, so. I'm a big Dark Side fan, big Imperial fan. So
I haven't noticed.
No, right? I'm kind of subtle about it. I think I need to be more open about it now.
Yeah, I feel you need to.
Yeah. But Assault Shock Troops, his basic ability, deal physical damage to target with a 50% chance to inflict ability block for one turn, which we all know how that works. Overwhelming Assault. Deal physical damage to all enemies and gain crit damage up for two turns. Okay, it's an AoE attack. So then he has his unique assault training. Snow Trooper gains 20% turn meter whenever any unit is defeated, and other Empire allies gain half that amount while Snow Trooper is active. Imperial Trooper allies also have plus 20% crit damage. Now, the fun one, like I mentioned before, he could have this elite tag to him, so it's called Trigger Happy. It's for elite Snowtrooper only. Snowtrooper Elite has 70% counter chance, and his first basic attack each turn calls an assist, dealing 50% less damage. But if, like I said, if these other guys, like Imperial Probe Droid are out there, it's going to be a pain.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do to plan for it.
Nope.
Because it's completely random on who's going to be the elite.
Yep, and sometimes I've kind of seen there are going to be two or three elites out there, and it's going to be like, oh boy.
And that's when you're going to want to retreat, and you're going to be like, shit, I can't.
Yep. You're like, oh crap. Did not prepare for this.
No, not at all.
Yep. Now we have a new character as well. It's called Snowtrooper Ops. And he has four new abilities. Well, technically three, but also an elite ability, of course. But it's called Knockout. Deal physical damage to target enemy with a 50% chance to stun for one turn. This chance is doubled while stealthed. If the target is debuffed, also remove 30% turn meter. So this move, if you see that Imperial Elite Probe Droid, I'm sorry, I'm a little high on the Imperial Probe Droid, you're going to be in for quite a lot of turn meter loss.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it.
Yeah. And then there's his first special ability called Whiteout. And it's gain stealth for two turns and recover 40% health. This ability's cooldown is reset whenever an ally unit is defeated. Ow.
Ugh.
Ooh.
At least they...
Yeah.
Do they have somebody on this team that can rez? Because that just seems like the next logical middle finger.
I will see. Anyway, his third ability is called Blowout, which sounds pretty cool. Deal physical damage to all enemies and dispel all buffs on them, with a 50% chance to also inflict tenacity down for two turns. Well, my hopes and dreams just went away.
Yeah.
And I want to see this character in-game so I can collect him. So place him with Death Trooper, and he is a monster.
Well, you got to think, a lot of these, from the sound of it, a lot of these abilities that they have are based around buffs and debuffs.
Right, which buffs is kind of what Rebels kind of revolve around, though.
It is, yes, but I mean, I know they have anti-R2 tactics in there, but if you have, I'm just thinking out loud, like, if you have R2's second ability Zeta, not the number crunch, the other one, that actually would be really good in this, because whenever you crit, you dispel all debuffs on you.
Yeah.
So that could come in real handy in a lot of these fights, I think.
Yeah, but I think with this Snowtrooper Ops, it's kind of the first time someone's actually relying on, an Empire anyway, that's going to rely on a buff.
I guess you're right. I mean, other than Thrawn's Fracture.
That's a debuff, though.
Oh, yeah, that is a debuff. It relies on a buff on somebody else.
Not necessarily. It's a debuff, but yeah, still. Anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic. His elite ability, Blackout. While stealth, Snowtrooper Ops Elite. Basic attack deals massive damage to units with less than 70% health. So it seems like Snowtrooper Ops, especially the elite one, is going to cause people some issues.
Yeah, I can tell, like, with the extra damage due to low health.
Well, the 70% health is not hard to get to.
No, it's not.
So if that elite, so you want to take out the Snowtrooper Ops immediately if he's elite.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's not much you can do. I mean, yeah, there are healers on the light side, but not any that are that worthwhile. I mean, maybe they will be. Maybe Bari Sophie is going to come back and just be dominant.
Yeah, maybe. We need to hope for some kind of massive healer, but God, Blackout. I didn't realize it was 70% health. Ooh.
Commander? The new Han Solo.
Captain Han.
He is going to be good against them.
Yes, he is. Because there's no permadeath.
Yeah.
Permanent death.
So he's going to be probably real good against them.
Yeah. All right. The next character, we've kind of seen this character around in light side battles a little bit, cantina battles. But now he's comes in with a full kit now.
It's Embo?
It is. I'm sorry. No, I know that's your Discord picture. I'm sorry. That's not Embo.
What? No. Hold on. Embo is not my Discord picture.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I'm mixing you up with Kanjuru. I'm sorry.
Yes. My Discord picture is possibly the greatest character in Star Wars history.
Oh, that's right.
And that is Hondo. Yes, Hondo. I don't care what it costs me. The day he comes into this game, I will have him at 7 stars, top gear level, the day he comes out. I don't care.
So pretty much like me with Thrawn.
Yeah, except I don't care if he's as bad as Cup. I'm still doing it. And he will be in my
leader.
He will be in my arena team. He will be in my raid team. He will be in every physical team I can put him on. He will be the mainstay in it. So we'll move on from there.
Okay. So Snowtrooper Commander. His basic ability is Coordinated Assault. Deal damage to target enemy and call a random buffed Empire ally to assist. So it's very specific, but for territory battles, it's not very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have his first special ability, Energize. Empire allies gain protection up 10% for 2 turns for each debuffed enemy, stacking. If no enemies are debuffed, all allies gain offense up and advantage for 3 turns instead.
I'm not liking these kits. Like, they're good kits.
Yeah, they're pretty good kits. That's why, like, I posted on the Galaxy Heroes forums and everything else, like, I want to know when I can farm these characters. I will get them, and I will throw them in my squads. Because these guys are just amazing.
I can't argue with you on this.
I'm pretty much drooling over here right now at these character kits.
I would be if, I liked Imperials or had any whatsoever.
Battlefront 2 might change your opinion, but anyway.
Okay, yeah, that's a whole different discussion we're going to have to get into in one episode.
Yep. Okay, he has a third special ability, too. It's called Strike Order. and it's grants another target ally 100% turn meter, critical chance up, and speed up for 3 turns. Oh boy. That does not sound good.
Like, these characters make me want to drink.
Cheers.
Cheers. Like, they do not seem like they're going to be fun to do. I mean, they're obviously not going to be impossible to get past, but they're they're going to be a lot of
those, like, later testing. Waves are going to be, ouch. Like, you will lose. If, like, it might not be first phase or second phase, but about third or fourth, you will probably lose.
Oh yeah, I mean, if somebody like Warrior is not getting past the last phase, I'm screwed.
Yeah, we're like, this is an issue. Like, oh boy, mm-hmm. I'm not looking forward to these guys. I never wanted to go against Empire to begin with. Like, I hate the fact that this is Hoth Imperial Invasion, and we have to fight against the Empire. I don't like that. But anyway, that's my opinion. Now, his unique ability, Fall Back. Whenever Stormtrooper Commander falls below full health, the healthiest ally taunts and gains protection up 35% for 2 turns. Crap. So it's kind of a Grievous kind of deal.
Hopefully he's as bad as Grievous.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, I can hope.
Yeah, we can all hope. Because I'm not looking forward to fighting this guy. Okay, now his elite ability, that's only if he has his elite tag, ahead of schedule. Stormtrooper Commander Elite has a 70% chance to gain 100% turn meter after using a special ability. Which, if any of us have gone against AI, 70% is pretty much 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It will be.
It will be. The next one, Imperial Probe Droid. I've already gone over him. The first one who doesn't have an elite ability, Stormtrooper. Just regular old Stormtrooper. But the thing is, he's going to cause some issues for people. Believe it or not.
Of course.
And that's, you know, Imperial Marksmanship, deal damage to target enemy, high damage variance, we all know this. Stormtrooper Bravado, taunt for 2 turns, grant Empire allies defense up for 2 turns. And starting with that ability, that's where the problem lies. Empire allies gain defense up for 2 turns, and Stormtrooper will taunt for 2 turns. Because his unique is the same as the one that we have for him, and that's Wall of Stormtroopers. Stormtrooper gains 25% defense for each living Empire ally. While Stormtrooper is active, Imperial Trooper allies have plus 30% defense. So each one of these combat phases looks like it's going to have about 6 or 7 Imperials inside, if not more. And 25 times 7 or 8, or even 6 or 7, that's a big number.
Yep.
Including that, he already has plus 30% defense from being an Imperial Trooper. And on top of that, as soon as he taunts, he's got defense up too.
Kind of seems like a different version of a Short Trooper.
I was going to say Sith Trooper.
Now, I guess I haven't worked with Sith Trooper as much as you. I don't even know if I have him unlocked. So,
yeah.
I just don't know much about him. But yeah, he just seems like one of those tanks that is, you have to spend the majority of your time trying to take him down while the rest of the team just destroys you.
And he's pretty, I've played with him in arena a few times, and he can take some hits.
Oh, for sure.
He's one of the only ones I've seen so far withstand a Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum full just whirlwind and still be alive.
That's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all right, so are there any more characters that did we miss any?
There's a few.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
There's more.
All right.
Stormtrooper Commander, you know, we've seen him around in game. It looks like the Sand Trooper, but it's not the Sand Trooper. Stormtrooper Commander's basic ability is called Engage. Deal physical damage to target enemy. If that enemy had full health, call up two random allies to assist, dealing 40% less damage. What? I'm sorry, but some of the basic abilities from these other guys? That's devastating.
Like, I get what they're trying to do here. They're trying to make this as hard as possible.
But this is just sounding less and less hopeful.
I mean, there's only a matter of time. You can't have this many new abilities come out and this not be broken. I've played enough games to know that stuff is going to be broken when it comes out. And all these abilities combined, it's bound to happen. Like, stuff's going to get nerfed in the first week.
Yep.
Or two, because people won't be able to do anything. And it's almost like they tried to pack in too much into these battles.
And you're that's just as basic. You're going to love his next two.
Okay.
Imperial Lion is only special. All allies recover 40% health, and target ally gains protection up for 30% for two turns.
So he's going to put it on the tank.
Yep, which means Stormtrooper.
Yeah. Now, we do have hope that the AI is going to suck, but I'm not counting on that.
No. Because you're going to love this one even more.
All right.
So all these guys are pretty much considered Imperial Troopers, right?
Yeah.
Blitz, his unique ability. Imperial Trooper allies have plus 30 speed while they have no debuffs.
All right, I'm deleting my account.
It was nice talking to you.
Like, I mean, Lightside is not known for debuffs.
No. That's why I have a funny feeling Cassian's going to be really big in some of these battles.
Cassian, Jin, Rogue One, essentially.
Yeah. Because they're the debuff dealers, really, as far as Rebels. And, you know, Soldier inflicts one or two debuffs, but let's face it, he won't get his turn off in time.
No. I mean, you will have other ones that are useful, like Raid Han.
Yes, Raid Han will be useful.
Commander Luke.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then
there are missions where those guys get taken by special missions.
Yeah, so you're not even guaranteed to have them.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's keep going on. Let's rip the Band-Aid off with these.
Your typical TIE fighter pilot, you know all of his abilities, so I'm not going to waste any more time with him. The final character is a brand new character. You know, we've seen him, not really brand new, but he's been popping his head in recently, and that is the AT-ST driver.
Okay.
So, his first ability is called Advance. Deal physical damage to target enemy and gain 50% turn meter.
Alright.
Strategic planning, his only special. Dispel all debuffs on another target ally and reduce all of their cooldowns by 2.
Alright.
His unique ability, Push Through. At the end of his turn, AT-ST driver's cooldown is reduced by 1 for each debuffed ally. If no ally is debuffed, AT-ST driver gains 15% turn meter. So essentially, he's gaining 65% turn meter every time he uses his basic.
All right. Well, this is fun.
Just to top it all off.
Oh, Lord. I mean, it's probably not as bad as we think.
I hope not.
I mean, obviously, it's going to be super tough. But, I mean, it can't be as hard as they make it out to be with just the way these abilities work.
They sound nuts, but just breathe it all in, and you know, we'll deal with it. I guess tomorrow. I guess today. When this podcast releases.
Yeah, I guess we'll deal with it, you know.
Soon.
In a couple hours.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay, anyway, that's it for new character, new Imperials, all that stuff. So, next thing is going to be...
Platoon missions. We still have more missions to go through.
Oh, goody.
Yay. So, platoon missions are basically... It's not individual battles. You're basically donating characters to the cause. You're basically you're sacrificial lambs. Each platoon requires you can have 15 specific characters with a minimum star level. There are 6 platoons in each platoon mission. The mission progress is shared across the whole guild, so it's not just based on you. It's kind of everyone chipping in. And so you kind of have to work together, because it's not going to be all your characters that you need. It's going to be specific characters for each one. So you kind of have to coordinate, hey, I have these I can put in, so you're going to put them in and to make it work. So it's going to take a lot of coordination. And then you get territory points for each completed platoons. You can unlock powerful abilities from, like, the ion cannon.
And we'll go over those in a minute.
The ion cannons, yep.
Ion cannon, all the enemy strategic abilities, and the rebel strategic abilities.
Mm-hmm. So, this is just a very basic... So every 2 platoons that are completed... upgrade the magnitude of the platoon mission's ability up to the maximum of 3 tiers. So it increases the power of your iron cannon, essentially. Once unlocked, these abilities will be available to the entire guild in future combat missions, so pay attention to which zones are affected by these landmarks. Again, you just basically have to pay attention, and it's going to be trial and error in what works best. And then other platoon missions, unlock abilities in future combat missions that weaken the enemies or debilitate them entirely. So basically, by unlocking the iron cannon, you unlock another platoon mission in a different territory that will weaken them more, and so on and so forth. It's kind of like a snowball effect.
Right.
Did you want to talk about the special abilities or the...
Yeah, absolutely. The first, you know, 3 or 4, 5, I guess, that are allied strategic abilities. So these are your strategic abilities that you get to unlock yourself through these platoon missions. The ion cannon blast, which is involved in ship combat only, so it won't happen until like phase 4 or 5, when you start to use your ships. Level 1, as Ednar was stating before. You know, as you complete these platoon missions, you know, level 1, 2, 3. So level 1 is deal special damage to target enemy and stun them for 1 turn. This ability starts on cooldown. Level 2, plus 20 cooldown speed, add 100% turn meter reduction. Level 3, plus 30 cooldown speed, no longer starts on cooldown. So, in doing that, it really helps out your ships. And that you have another ability there that says Ion Cannon Blast. So as you're reading your abilities, you'll see Ion Cannon Blast. Click the button, it activates. Power Generator, level 1, the enemy's orbital bombardment, which I don't like the sound of that. The enemy's orbital bombardment. Just another ability they get to use.
Yep.
So anyway, this ability is disabled by the planetary shield ability in the rear trenches in the power generator territories. Level 2, forward trenches and outer pass territories are protected now. Level 3, the snowfields and forward stronghold territories are not protected. So power generator is a big, big probably play-in.
Okay. Now, do we know which territories these will be in, or is it random?
We know what territories it should be in. Let me see if it states it. I think it begins in the rear trenches. And that's I think it's phase two or three.
So, yeah, because looking at the map, it almost looks like it's an IN cannon in phase two.
Hmm. That makes sense. So it must be phase three then, right?
Yeah. I think that's an IN cannon.
Okay. The third one now, though, is Rebel Strafing Run, which is character combat only. So you don't get to use this in ship battles at all.
Okay.
Level one, deal physical damage to all enemies, dispel all buffs on them, and remove 30% turn meter. In addition, inflict defense down on target for 3 turns. So that's a big plus for Luke, for the commander.
Which is always a bonus, because that's one character I actually have.
Level 2, plus 35% damage, and level 3, plus 30 cooldown speed. So, essentially, if the Empire starts getting buffs, or, you know, that Snowtrooper Ops is starting to get annoying with his stealth, Rebel Strafing Run takes away his stealth. You're good to go. The fourth one, Rebel Supply Lines. Level 1, all allies have plus 25 defense and a plus 40 chance to dispel all debuffs for themselves at the start of their turn. Level 2, plus 25% defense and plus 10% crit avoidance. Level 3, add 20% health per recovery per turn and plus 20% dispel chance.
Dang. Okay.
So
this all this stuff is... Only. Yes, a lot of this stuff is going to be required for you to move on.
Absolutely. And then the fourth and final one, Rebel Guerrilla Strike. That's character combat only again. All allies have plus 10% crit chance. Level 2, add 25% chance to gain advantage at the start of encounter. Level 3, add 35% chance to daze target with first attack each encounter.
Okay.
So it plays in. It helps.
Yeah, it will help. It helps
out quite a bit.
It will help you deal with all those Imperial a-holes.
Yeah, because I'm sorry, they're not what you just said, but...
A little bit.
You'll understand my point of view, you know. You will.
Sooner or later. Because I'm going to run out of light-type characters to level up sooner or later.
Imperial characters are extremely fun to play with.
Yeah, they do have a lot of that great synergy. So, yeah. But, I mean, these special abilities and will help out so much, though.
They will. Now, if you don't if you don't participate in platoon missions or don't get things, here's what, like, Orb of Bombardment and all the Empire strategic abilities do on their end. So, Orbital Bombardment, character combat only. Deal physical damage to all enemies with a 75% chance to inflict ability block for 1 turn. This ability starts on cooldown. In addition, this ability is disabled in territories protected by planetary shield ability. So, okay. I understand that. Then, the second one is also character combat only. Level 3... Deal physical damage to target enemy. This attack deals 50% more damage to enemies with full health. This ability is weakened as platoons attack the AT-AT and is disabled when the AT-AT is defeated. So that's kind of interesting. AT-AT is defeated. I wonder if we get to play against one at the very end.
I mean, it looks like we do.
But on the map. That's still low hopes.
Yeah, I mean, if the Ewoks can fight them...
Why can't the Imperials and a Commander Luke?
Yeah, why can't Commander Luke? I mean, they fought them on Hoth. Might as well.
Yep.
Make it happen.
Level 2, hindered. Cooldown speed, minus 50. Level 1, badly hindered. Minus 35% damage. Disabled, AAT, destroyed. AT-AT, I'm sorry. I'm thinking tank raid. Okay. That's it for those abilities.
Okay. I mean, there's just so many new abilities that we have to learn.
So much planning.
So much planning. Like, and I know this is a lot of information for people to take in, but, you know, this is just going to be a general overview until we actually get to do it ourselves tomorrow.
Yeah. And so the next episode we'll have...
Actual strategy, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what works. This is what doesn't. Those are going to be... Like, so... Platoon missions and combat missions are going to be your two... from what I gather, are going to be the two big events. Like, the two main things. Because the other stuff doesn't come up as much.
No.
So we'll get into the next one. Unless, do you have anything else for Platoon?
Let's go ahead and get start on this last battle.
Yeah, so special missions. Instead of earning territory points for this, you earn unique rewards for the entire guild. For example... In one special mission, all guild members can earn Rebel, Officer, Leia, Organa, or Rolo shards for the entire guild. But you have to use a specific set of characters to get that. So special missions are more challenging, have stricter unit requirements, don't show up as often, but the rewards are much better.
Oh, yeah.
So those are going to be the ones that you really want to... When you see those things jump up. So, yeah, those are going to be all the special missions. We don't know what exactly all of them are going to be at this point. But we do know more about rewards that we're going to be getting. Because that's really why we do this. We're not doing this for shits and giggles with no reward coming from it. So, we're going to be getting a new shop. And we're going to be getting new rewards. So, Coleman, you actually were able to find out almost all of the new characters and new stuff we're going to be able to get in the new currency. So, what would those be?
You know, of course, Hermit Yoda is going to be in the store. We all know this. But in Gear 12, things are going to be in there, too. But I'm not going to... That's Gear 12. That's too many names, too many letters, too much Latin. But the characters and ships I can kind of go over. Okay, so far from what I'm seeing is that Hoth Rebel Scout's in the store, which that's no big deal. He's in Cantina, so I wouldn't even bother. Princess Leia, Stormtrooper Han, Bodhi Rook, Chir Imoue. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Wedge Antilles X-Wing, Phantom II, Cassian's U-Wing, Rex's ARC-170 Starfighter, Jedi Counselor Starfighter, Pal, which is kind of nice. Have a second spot to kind of farm him, not just finish him, of course.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants Pal.
He's sitting really good, man. Having that offense up, it's kind of nice.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Biston, Cassian, Andor, Jyn Erso, Resistance X-Wing. One of the happier things that caught my eye was Hoth Rebel soldiers in that store. So if you're lacking on Hoth Rebel soldier, you can put a little change in him. One thing I did forget to mention is that pretty much all of these look like they're about 375 tokens or so, or currency.
Yep. Yeah, and a couple of other ones, I don't know, did you get through all of them?
Not yet.
Okay, keep going.
Like I said, I left off on Hoth Rebel Soldier. So, Admiral Ackbar, Farm Boy Luke, Umbaran Starfighter, the Gauntlet Starfighter, which is kind of surprising it's in there.
That is. That's weird.
I'm glad it's in there, but it's just odd to me it's in there.
That's the only dark side thing you've listed so far.
Yeah, exactly. Wedge Antilles is in there as well. The Ghost is in there. Scarif Rebel Pathfinder, which is nice for me because I haven't fully maxed out yet. And also, for all of us hard-nosed farmers that are out there for bays, he is in the store. So that's a joy.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm most excited about.
Yeah, Baze Malvis is definitely 100% confirmed. He's in the store. That Guild Event store, the new one. So that's pretty much all I've found in the store so far.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be nice ones. Like, so, like, some that stuck out to me was the Baze, the Chirrut,
Rex's ship, for me, is a big one.
Yeah, the Gauntlet Starfighter, the Ghost, and the Phantom. God, a Hoth Rebel soldier is another really good one. And then, obviously, Hermit Yoda. I don't think I'm missing any other of the really hard-to-get ones.
Not really, because everyone else pretty much has their own store.
Yeah. So those are going to be the key ones. Now, you mentioned that it's about 375 per thing.
Yes.
Now, to give an example of how much currency you're probably going to end up getting. So if you get full 45 stars, you're going to be getting 6,000 currency. Okay. The lowest you can get is 750.
Hmm.
And that's literally one star, you get 750 currency. So yeah, like that is going to be easily farmable stuff.
Okay.
So that gives the rewards. I mean, I guess we can. I think we should save what kind of stuff, like what kind of teams we should do for next week once we actually get into it.
Yeah, I mean, we can go into stuff, and we will go into stuff. I should say about what your best route is to go for the store and who you should be going after. But that's for another day.
Yeah, because I mean we're already on a one of our longest episode, so
it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know, and we're not even done for today. So. One other thing that we didn't really talk about, well, we kind of touched on it, was the deployments. Deployments are basically what you have for leftover characters.
Right.
Is once you get past... So there's an order that you should be doing these in.
Right.
Like if this is there, do that. If this is there, do that. You know, so on and so forth. So the order that we recommend, and Coleman, you made a really good point about this, is that, well... For starters, the number one thing, if there's a special mission, do that first. Just do that.
All right. I would almost recommend above that is that even if you see that special mission for Rolo shards or somebody shards, check platoon missions first, because they will each one of those has six inside it, and those six will have a random character that's probably going to be specific to it. So you can't go into that without that character. And if you deploy or use that character anywhere, and then you have a platoon mission that also requires him later in that same phase, you can't do that platoon slot.
Nope. No. Yeah. I think the moral of this is, so like platoon missions are not your top priority, but they are your top priority to check to see.
Yeah.
Any special requirements. So always check your platoon missions first.
Yeah, you don't have to do... I'm not saying attack or go into platoon missions. Don't insert troops in there immediately. Don't do that. Just check. Make sure you're not going to throw somebody in that you might need later.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, do your special mission first. But make sure those characters that you're using for that special mission... aren't going to be needed in your platoon. Same for combat missions.
Yep.
Like, check your combat missions. Or check your platoon. Sometimes you will need to use combat mission characters in your platoon. So then you have to decide where it's best to be used. So, those special and combat kind of offer better rewards than platoon. But platoon will give you more flexibility. Like... Well, less flexibility, honestly, because you have to use certain characters in certain platoons that you can't then use in combats and special missions.
Right.
So
it should definitely go check platoon, special missions, combat missions, then you deploy your forces actually in the platoon mission, and then finally, you know, whatever you have left over, throw in deployment.
Yeah. Just deployment is going to be your, okay, have I done this? Yes. All right. Deploy the rest.
Final thing you do, and just go in. Go all in.
Yep. Throw everything you possibly have in it. Ships, characters, you name it. So Yep. And that's how you're going to beat it.
Essentially.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see how all this goes.
Yeah, I mean...
And just keep in mind, everyone, is that no one... Almost probably, it's going to be hard if anyone, probably nobody, is going to fully clear this the first go round.
No. There will not be. I don't think anybody's going to beat it for the first three or four times, honestly. Yeah. Like, it will probably be a couple weeks before it's cleared.
Yeah, it will be.
Like, fully cleared. So, yeah. Just like the heroic AAT. I mean, that thing took forever to be beat.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. So, a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So, now, there is a new thing that we haven't quite fully talked about, and that just came to my mind, is we never really talked about galactic power.
No, I guess we didn't. Huh. Interesting.
So galactic power is the new... ranking kind of or the power level of your characters, all your characters, every character you have unlocked, every piece of gear you have equipped, every mod you have equipped, every Zeta, everything. So what you want to do is, and the reason galactic power is important is because when you do deploy all your excess tunes, it's based on your galactic power, from my understanding.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's how, you know, even in our guild, that's how we're pretty much ranking people now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you're ranking people based on their galactic power. And so that means, honestly, get mods on people. Get 5-dot mods.
Yeah, start playing the game for what it really is. It's a collection game.
Yep, like all those 5-dot mods that you haven't leveled up, get them on a character.
Yep,
because it
just
will
put them on,
do wonders.
Yep, and I will say this: I mentioned it earlier in Discord, is that the credit crunch is back.
Oh God, yes,
credit crunch strikes back.
Yeah, because you need to get your character. Not need. You don't need to do anything in this game. But to maximize all your potential, you need to get them to at least level 50.
Yeah, and that's a lot of credits.
Yeah, you're looking at about...
mod upgrades, the gear upgrades, and it's just like, holy cow.
Yeah, you're looking at about 600 to 700K to get a character from 1 to 50 with 6 fully upgraded mods.
Hmm.
And one way I'm actually getting around the credit crunch on this is, and I know it may not be ideal, but my recommendation is arena shards. I save my arena currency to buy credits. Now, granted, yeah. I've been playing this game for a while, and I don't really have anybody else I truly need. So... I mean, if you need somebody in there, get them. If you still need Stormtrooper Hunt, get them. If you need Leia, get them. But if you're like, well, I'll get Newt Gunray, screw that. You don't need Newt Gunray.
Yet.
Never.
Yet.
Never.
Yet.
Never, 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 yet. Never, never.
Yet.
use that stuff, build it up, buy a million credits. You can upgrade one character every 2 days from 1 to 52 with 5-dot mods on them. Just by doing that. Like, I mean, that's a great way to go about it.
It is. And then you also have your Galactic War, which if you're level 85, you get another million there.
Yeah.
By completing it.
Yeah. I mean, and there are certain things you can do to, like... So, the biggest upgrade you can do from the spreadsheet we have, and the spreadsheet I'm actually going to attach in the show notes on iTunes, so you'll be able to click on it from iTunes, hopefully. it has kind of like a list of the exact numbers each upgrade will give you. So, like, for instance, an upgrade from a level 8 Omega to a level 8 Zeta is over 2,000 galactic power, which is the biggest jump in the game. So to go from, like, a level 7 to a Zeta ability. Like, stuff like that. It's all this little things that you can do. You see all those green plus signs on your lower level characters? Put them on. That stuff's easy to get. It is easy to get. Like, don't put all your freaking droid collars and stun cuffs and stuff on random people, though. Because plan that stuff out still.
Yep.
But yeah, galactic power is the new way to judge how your team's doing. You're not your team, your whole roster.
And that's the big thing for now is that galactic power score.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to start getting recognized, or like you're a little guy, like not really getting recognized by some of these bigger guilds, boost that galactic power and they'll start noticing.
Yeah, like, I have a crap galactic power, and I still got noticed.
Yeah, you made top 100, so.
But I mean, like, it's one of those things where you just don't realize it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting probably middle of the pack for all of Rebel Force. But I have the right characters. That is what's doing me a favor, is I concentrated on light side, unlike some people.
What? Hey, you can't say anything. I've got a higher galactic power than you.
Okay, well, of course you do. I've only been playing this game a year.
I'm coming up November. It's going to be 3 years now?
Yeah, so you know what? Yeah, you know.
It might be 2 years.
Yeah. You have the luxury of having all that time to farm these characters. But, yeah, no, it's... And don't feel overwhelmed by this. That's, I think, a huge takeaway.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff, but you will get to it. People were overwhelmed when the Rancor first came out. People were overwhelmed when the Heroic AAT, or the AAT came out. Like, yes, it may be frustrating at first. Every game, when they release new stuff, it's frustrating as all hell.
And this is going to be quite frustrating.
It will be, but in a month, you're going to get in a rhythm, and it's going to be like second nature to you.
Yeah, well, everyone's going to have access to make guides, everything else like that. Just keep your mind open. Keep the internet open to what's out there.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing about this, and I've brought this up before, is if whether you're first or 50th, you get the same rewards. So no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard I try, I'm not going to beat Coleman in this. I'm just not. He has better characters than me, but the thing is I'm not going to be defeated because he's just going to keep getting better while I'm going to stay behind. We're going to get better together.
Yep.
And that's...
And there will be a stalling point for me, which Ednar's going to catch up immensely.
Mm-hmm. So... It's going to be an interesting month or two, especially with all this new stuff that's going to be coming out after this.
Unless they introduce those Imperials that we see in these territory battles, then I'm just going to go ape.
Ah, see, here's the thing. They're not going to introduce them, at least not for a while.
You don't know that.
Well, I feel they're going to be introduced. Are these characters going to be in the new Star Wars movie?
No.
Okay, yeah, then they won't be out for a while.
My hopes, man. I've got hopes that maybe somebody out there is listening, and you never know.
Yeah, by the way, so EA Jesse, if you're listening to this right now, I want Hondo. And I want Hondo now.
I don't think EA Jesse's the one who does that part, though.
But he can tell the right people.
Okay.
And I want a Galactic War Report, and I want Shattered Order Podcast. Shout out to them, McMole. Shout out to you. Get me Hondo. You guys know people. Make this happen. But so all right, closing thoughts on territory battles.
Give me a
quick synopsis. What should people be doing in a couple sentences or less?
Build up your Rogue One and your Phoenix squads.
That's damn good advice. My advice would be build up your resistance and plan before you get in.
Mm-hmm. Do your homework on when you see battles, just click on them, get a brief overview of what you need, do your homework.
The worst thing you can do is Leroy Jenkins this.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do, it seems like, with this.
So there's a few more things we need to go over in the news besides territory battles. Nothing major, but a couple of other things. So they came out with the event calendar for September. So for starters, the login character for the month of September is going to be Captain Phasma.
Yay.
Which is weird to me.
Yeah. It's odd to me, too.
Like, my money was on Hoth Rebel Scout.
My money was going to be on, I think, you know, some Rebel, but I didn't know which one.
Like, Hoth Rebel Scout fits the criteria of you need him for the new stuff, but he's still easily farmable.
Right.
This Phasma thing is baffling to me, because usually when you get a new login character, it signals a rework or some sort of event. But they already got a rework a couple months ago.
Well, if you think about it, not really, because they got all their reworks and all their Zetas the same time the Sith did.
Well, true, but they got a rework before other people. They're not going to do another rework on First Order.
That's the thing, though, is that we have, what is it, The Last Jedi. I'm starting to fade here. And The Last Jedi, it's around the corner, and I think there's confirmed evidence that the next trailer is coming out in September.
I get that, but it's going to be 3 months until the next movie.
Yeah, but we also have a lot of stuff in between these months, a lot of Star Wars things going on.
Yeah. So that's going to be your login character. A couple of the other events, nothing really stands out. So in September, we're going to be getting, on the September 11th and 12th, we're going to be getting Military Might, which requires Rebels and Clones. Easy enough.
Especially with these territory battles. Everyone's getting the Rebels prepped.
Yep. There's going to be Emperor's Demise, the Emperor Palpatine, September 14th to the 20th. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that is not going to stay Emperor's Demise.
I do.
I think it's going to be Thrawn.
No, I can see it staying Emperor's Demise, but
I can too, but I hope it's Thrawn, because I actually really want him. I really want a dark side character. You should be proud.
I am proud.
So that's September 14th to the 20th. September 18th and 19th, we're going to be Forest Moon Assault Battle, so Empire and Droids. And then there's something interesting.
Oh? I haven't looked at these notes fully, so.
So you know how they list the Omega Battles on like a Saturday and a Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they've done this before, so I could be completely wrong. They have them listed as Omega Events. And then it says start September 14th, or start September 20th, or September 25th. It's not like the individual Omega Battles.
What dates were those?
So September 14th.
Okay, that's a Thursday.
Exactly. September 20th.
That's a Wednesday.
And September 25th.
And it's a Monday, so none of these are weekends.
Exactly. So I'm thinking we're going to get a different event where we can get more Omegas.
Interesting. I would like that. I like that new pack that came out, so.
Yeah, like we need, like the gear crunch, they still have not done anything to reduce the gear crunch.
Well, it's just part of the game, though. It's what makes it a little bit fun, is grinding all that and then getting the reward feeling.
Yes, so but the gear crunch got harder. The Omegas got replaced with Zetas, but we didn't get an increase in Omegas coming in.
Oh, God, I hate that so much.
So, like, I mean, they need to increase the up, like, the drop rate on Omegas, I think. They do. Because Omegas are not, are now not, like, the end game ability upgrades.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I can see them doing, like, a 3 or 4 day Omega event. So you get an extra 2 to 3.
That's fine. I'll take whatever at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we have all that to come up, coming up in September, and who knows if that will change. This is just what they have right now.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I can't think of any other news that came out.
No. Nothing really.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to call it a show. We're at about an hour and a half now for the show. You know, this is the longest one. We knew it would be the longest one because we took 2 weeks off.
We took a week off.
We haven't had one in 2 weeks, so we took a week off, and all this stuff dropped.
Yeah, of course. That would happen.
So, I mean, do you have any closing thoughts, Coleman?
Not as much closing thoughts as I just want to give a couple shout-outs. You know, Territory Battles dropped kind of today, like preliminary. And we could grab a couple packs. You know, Captain Han's available to start farming up. And these two shout-outs I want to give are for my Shard Chat mates and Shard mates in general. First Gear 12s out of all of our Shard. So big shout-out to Knights of Ren and Turtlewan for grabbing that Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum to Gear 12 before Territory Battles even dropped. So big congrats to them. A little jealous that I don't have my Tarkin or my Thrawn to Gear 12 yet, but they're on the way tomorrow.
There you go. I also want to give a shout-out. I know we brought this up earlier, but I want to give a shout-out to the leaders of our guild, and not just our guild. And I'm going to forget names, but, like, you, Coleman, a Painted Land, who brought me over to this guild. So thank you, Painted. Kyle of Red, Mola Lisa, Pasha, Taco, who I will destroy in fantasy football.
Please do.
I will. Taco, I'm sorry, but I'm going to destroy you. And everyone else who made all this possible for me and the rest of the guildies, we really appreciate all the work you've put in to organize this and get things going for us. That should do it for this episode. We've gone on for our longest episode yet. We started this podcast thinking, oh, we'll talk for 30 minutes. And then we haven't had one under an hour yet. So
no.
So I just like
I enjoy them, though. This is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. Shoot the shit. It's just, I enjoy it. So thank you all for joining us for this wonderful podcast. If you have any questions or would like us to answer any questions, please email us at rebelforcealliancepodcast@gmail.com or in easier ways on our Twitter page at RFApodcast. As always, any iTunes reviews would be much appreciated. I do want to give a shout-out. We got our first review by Colt.4. He gave us a wonderful 5-star review. So I want to thank you for that. Hopefully we get more to come. But other than that, I want Hondo. Give me Hondo.
You never know. Maybe your wish will come true.
All right, have a good night, all.